Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building one of those classic retro rave air horn hits, but we're doing it in a way that actually works inside an Ableton Live 12 drum and bass track. So this is not just about making something loud and cheesy for the sake of it. We're making a usable musical weapon. Something you can drop into a jungle intro, use as a call and response stab against a Reese, or fire off as a switch up marker right before the drums go wide open. The vibe we're aiming for is old school, a little rough, a little dangerous, and definitely not too polished. In jungle and early rave D&B, the texture matters just as much as the pitch. If it sounds too clean, it loses that tape rave memory. If it's too long, it gets in the way of the break. So the mission is to make it short, punchy, crunchy, and rhythmically smart. We're going to use only stock Ableton devices, mainly Simpler, Sampler, Saturator, Redux, Drum Bus, Auto Filter, Roar, EQ8, Glue Compressor, and Utility. The workflow is sample-led. Then we print it, rough it up, reload it, and shape it until it feels like it belongs in a proper D&B arrangement. First, grab a source sound. Start with a short air horn, rave horn, or any brassy stab that has a clear attack. If you've got a clean sample, drop it into Simpler on a MIDI track. For most of these, classic mode is the easiest starting point because it behaves like a straightforward one-shot. If the sample has a longer tail or you want more control over how it plays back, you can still use Simpler, but keep the playback tight and immediate. The main thing here is that the sound needs an obvious front edge. That first hit, that first 20 to 40 milliseconds, is doing a lot of the work. In this style, the attack is often more important than the decay. So set a very fast attack, keep the release short, and set the decay somewhere in that short stab zone, maybe around 150 to 400 milliseconds depending on the source. You want it to feel like a hit, not like a sustained horn pad. Now let's shape the pitch movement. A classic rave horn does not just sit there statically. It usually has a little pitch personality. It might start slightly sharp or flat and then snap into place, or it might have that quick bark-like movement at the front. Inside Simpler, if your source and mode allow it, use pitch envelope movement. Keep it subtle though. We're talking a few semitones, not some huge cartoon dive. Something in the range of 2 to 7 semitones with a fast envelope can be enough to give the sound that wah or bark quality that feels alive. If you're writing a phrase, think musically. Put the horn where the drums leave space. In jungle, the break is talking first, and the horn is replying. So don't just randomly place it anywhere. Make it answer the snare, lead into a drop, or punch through a gap between break edits. The best horn hits feel like they're part of the drum grammar, not sitting on top of it. Once the basic hit feels right, we're going to do the thing that makes it believable. Resample it. This is where the sound starts to get that printed, worn, old-school character. Build a simple processing chain on the horn first. Start with saturator and push it a bit, maybe 3 to 8 dB of drive, with soft clip turned on. Then add redux if you want some bit reduction or gentle sample rate grit. After that, use auto filter to band limit or low pass the harsh top end, and maybe a light drum bus stage to give it a bit more density and transient snap. The key here is not to destroy it in one go. You want a few passes, each with a slightly different flavor. Record or freeze a few versions, then drag the best one back into Sampler. That printed result is important, because the tiny imperfections from the saturation, bit reduction, and filtering become part of the identity. That's how you get away from generic synth brass and into something that feels like it was sampled from a rave tape or ripped off an old record. Now that it's in Sampler, we can treat it more like an instrument than an audio file. Shape the filter and envelope so the hit has movement and bite. A low pass or band pass filter works well here, depending on how bright your source is. Set the cutoff somewhere that keeps the horn readable but not piercing, maybe around 1.5 to 6 kHz as a rough starting range. Add some resonance if you want that vowel-like edge. Then tighten the amp envelope again. Fast attack, short decay, short release. You want it to punch and then clear out of the way. A really nice advanced move here is to duplicate the sound and offset the start point on one copy by just a few milliseconds. That tiny delay between layers creates a slightly messy, sampled hardware feel. It's subtle, but in a dense drum and bass mix, these little timing quirks help the sound feel more alive. The ear still catches the transient, but the body has that rough, unstable movement that reads as vintage. If the horn feels thin, which it often will on its own, at a second layer, you can use a short sine or triangle thump for body, or a noisy burst for extra attack and attitude. Another good option is to bounce a gritty mid-range version of the same horn and use that as a layer. Keep the low layer mono and short. Keep the gritty layer bandpass, so it doesn't clutter the whole mix. And keep the noise layer very short and filtered so it adds air without turning into hiss. Once the layers are stacked, group them and process the whole thing like a drum and bass element. This matters. The horn is not just an FX sample. It's part of the rhythm system. Start with EQ8 and clean up any unnecessary low rumble. If the sound has muddy low end, high pass it somewhere around 80 to 150 Hz. If it's poking too hard in the upper mids, gently dip the harsh zone around 2.5 to 5 kHz. Then use a little saturator or roar if you want more grit. Add drum bus if you want extra transient energy, but don't go overboard. A touch of glue compressor can help bind the layers together, but keep the gain reduction light. You're aiming for control, not squash. And keep an eye on width. This is important in DNB. The core of the horn should usually stay mono or close to mono, especially if it has low body. You can widen the upper crunchy layer a little if you want, but don't smear the center. A wide horn can sound exciting in solo, but once the kick, snare, hats, bass, and effects are all running, too much width can make the hit lose focus. Now comes the arrangement side, and this is where the sound becomes useful. Place it with intention. Maybe it lands right after a snare. Maybe it answers the first bass phrase in the drop. Maybe it hits on the gap between break edits. In a 174 BPM jungle tune, a horn often feels best as a punctuation mark. It says, this is the transition. This is the turn. It can open an intro, mark the top of a drop, or act as a little rave nod before the bass comes back in. If you want it to stay musical, keep the note length short. If it's stepping on the snare, shorten it. If it disappears too easily, let a little delay or reverb throw spill into the next beat, but keep the main body tight. That balance is the whole trick. Short and controlled, but still nasty enough to feel exciting. Now automate it. This is where the hit comes alive across theta arrangement. Automate filter cutoff, saturator drive, redux bit depth, delay send, reverb send, and even utility width if you wanted to open up on the drop. A nice arc is to start filtered and band limited in the intro. Then open the cutoff and increase the drive as you approach the drop. Then let it hit full strength when the drums land. You can even automate a brief resonance spike on the last hit of a phrase to make it feel like it's shouting for a second, before pulling back. A great mindset here is to think in impact windows. Don't obsess over the whole decay. Focus on the front of the sound. If that attack is right, the tail can be a bit ugly and it'll still work. In fact, a slightly ugly tail is often part of the charm in this style. That's the old school energy. It's supposed to feel printed, not pristine. Also, check the sound in context, not just in solo. That's a big one. A horn that sounds massive by itself can vanish or fight the mix once the brakes are rolling. So keep auditioning it with the drums and bass on. Make the design decisions while the groove is happening. That's how you build something that actually lands in the track instead of just sounding cool in isolation. A few pro moves can help a lot here. One is to make two versions, one cleaner, one more broken up. Use the cleaner one for main phrases and the degraded one for fills or switch-ups. Another is to add a ghost hit underneath the main horn, maybe a quieter filter duplicate that lands just before or after the main accent. That can make the phrase feel bigger without raising the actual peak level much. And if you really want the old sampler feel, print the sound through saturation and clip stages, then reload it back into sampler again. That printed memory is often what gives the sound its personality. If you want to push it further, try an octave fractured layer. Duplicate the horn. Pitch one copy down an octave, filter it hard, and keep it very short. Blend just enough of that in to give the hit more weight. Or try a call and response stereo pair, where one layer is slightly darker and one slightly brighter, panned narrowly and triggered with tiny timing differences. That can make the hit feel wider without turning the mix into mush. For a quick practice exercise, build three versions of the same horn hit at 174 BPM. First, make a clean one with just simpler, a short envelope, and mild EQ and saturation. Second, resample it through saturator, redux, and drum bus. Then reload it into sampler and make it crunchy and tighter. Third, build a heavier version with a duplicate low body layer and a gritty mid layer, then process the group with a bit of glue and subtle roar. Arrange all three in an 8-bar loop and listen to how they behave against a breakbeat and bassline. The goal is to hear which one cuts through best without just being louder. And that's the real lesson here. A great retro rave horn in drum and bass is not just a sound effect. It's a phrase tool. It's a way of speaking in the track. Build it short. Keep it focused. Rough up the texture with resampling and place it like a response to the groove. If you do that well, the result will feel grimy, intentional, and instantly usable. Exactly the kind of hit that can carry old-school energy into a modern Ableton Live 12 DNB arrangement.